To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. The Chronicles of Aguna podcast is back. Had a few days off. Lots and lots has been going on outside of football for me. Mentioned to you guys that I had a couple of funerals to attend over the last couple of weeks. One was yesterday, which obviously is never nice. Needed to spend some time with family. And you know what? I looked at the international break and I looked at some of the things that were going on and some of the stories that were doing the round. And to be honest with you, I just didn't think they were worth discussing. And I really didn't want to sit and make content for the sake of making content, particularly going into what's going to be a crazy busy period. Now, I know when I say this, people probably listening on the other side go, what a ridiculous thing to say. Like, how can you get burnt out from watching football or chatting about football? Like, that's not possible. That's ridiculous. You know, it's a great job and a very privileged position you're in. So don't make out that it's really difficult in comparison to some of the other things that other people have got going on. And I completely agree with that. But I've realized over the last year that sometimes you do need to take a pause. Sometimes you need to prioritize family time, and sometimes you need to take those opportunities when they come along, because football is unrelenting at times. And I know that between now and the end of the season, I'm going to be jam-packed busy. So I did take my foot off the gas for a little bit, for a few days. Those of you that have been listening or watching for a while know I've got a couple of young kids as well, aged 5 and 2. And so I've been spending a bit of time with them as well, and I feel much better for it. And we're ready now to go into the business end of the season, which is going to be intense, which is going to be stressful, which is going to be very, very busy. But you know what? I'm here for it, right? This is what we've been wanting for years and years and years as Arsenal fans. Arsenal to be in the mix for the biggest trophies. We've got a blockbuster Premier League game coming up at the weekend against Manchester City. And very, very soon, we'll be playing a blockbuster UEFA Champions League quarterfinal tie with Bayern Munich. This is what it's all about. So I'm not going to complain about being in this position. I love to see Arsenal in this position. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be stressful. Emotions are going to be up and down, I'm sure. But this is what we've been desperate for years. So let's embrace it. Let's enjoy the ride. I do want to say a few hellos to those of you joining us in the live chat. I hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Big hello to Afsar, who says it's going to be a stressful end to the season. So I've just bought a blood pressure testing machine. Good idea. Matt is with us from Chicago. Good to see you, mate. Matt Guna joins us and says that he's with us whilst waiting very nervously for the silver ballot results for Bayern Munich. Best of luck to you, my friend. With that, N17 Gunner says, Chronicles of a Late Guna. It's just the way I do things. We've got Hacker in the chat. We've got Jamie, who says, up the Richard. We've got Osua Aboneni, who says, good to see you again, Harry. Thank you, Gunner 329. Jamie says, morning, Harry. Good to see you, mate. Boring internationals over. Now time for the boys to play. Do you know what as well? Not only was I like not in the mood because I hate international breaks and I find them really, really boring unless there's something at stake. And, you know, I did have the kind of bonus this time around of getting to watch Greece and hoping that they would maybe qualify for the European Championships. They didn't. They lost on penalties to Georgia, who have qualified for their first ever major international tournament. Massive congratulations to them. Former Monaco, Bayern and France defender Willy Sagnol is their manager, and he's done a wonderful, wonderful job with them. And you know what? I can say this as a Greek Cypriot, but a Greek nonetheless. I can say this. The tournament will be better off without Greece because they are that poor. They are diabolically bad. There's just no style. There's no real plan. They had maybe two, I would say, 10-minute spells in the game where you thought maybe they could score. They did go close when Mavropanos hit the crossbar. But outside of that, they were lackluster. They didn't want it as much as Georgia. Okay, they were away from home, which obviously is a bit of a disadvantage. But, you know, when you think about the sort of heritage of the two countries in terms of football, and I'm not saying that the Greeks are particularly great. I know they won Euro 2004. I think we can all agree that that was a bit of a fluke. You know, they should be getting past the side like Georgia. You looked at their playoff route. It was Georgia or Luxembourg in the final if they beat Kazakhstan, which they did comprehensively and comfortably. You looked at that and you thought, well, if you can't qualify now, then, you know, what on earth is the point? And I really did feel like that after, of course, the game on Tuesday night, I think it was. Yeah, Tuesday night it was. Awful, awful showing, awful display. But anyway, we're not here to talk about how bad Greece are. We're here to talk about the mighty Arsenal. We've got a full preview of the Manchester City game coming to you guys tomorrow. For the time being, though, we're going to focus on the title race in general. We're going to talk a little bit about how it might go. I've gone through each of the contenders' remaining fixtures. We're going to start off with Manchester City. We're going to look at Liverpool's games. We're going to try and predict how many points they might get and what the key fixtures are. We've also thrown in the European games as well to kind of highlight where they fall in the schedule and whether or not they could have an impact on, you know, Premier League games either side of those. So it's going to be a fascinating title race. You know, people are saying that Sunday's game is a title decider. I wouldn't go that far because I think that there is still A, plenty of football to be played, but B, you know, you got to factor in all the other sort of influences, the Champions League, how that might go, how that might turn out. Maybe injuries that are picked up outside of the Premier League, they could have a big knock-on effect on how teams perform. We're going to talk on the preview tomorrow about who is and who isn't available for the two teams after a whole raft of international withdrawals from players on both sides over the course of the last week as well. So this is going to be a really, really fascinating title race. I would go as far as saying this is probably going to be the best Premier League title race ever because you've got three excellent teams, not just two, but three, all in with a real strong chance of winning it. It's going to be incredible for the neutral, however it goes. For us, it could be heartbreaking. It could be, you know, jubilation. We just don't know. Right. Let's start off by looking at Manchester City's remaining fixtures and trying to figure out if, how, and maybe where they may drop points in the running. Okay, let's begin with Pep Guardiola's side. Now, I've gone through their fixtures, which I think, by the way, are pretty good in terms of, for them, in terms of being comfortable, in terms of games that you'd expect them to win. And I've tried to pinpoint, you know, how I think they're going to fare in those games. Now, some of you would say that maybe I'm overestimating what City are capable of. I would argue that they're reigning treble winners. And, you know, you've started to see signs recently of them getting back to their brilliant best and almost simmering at the point where they're about to really kind of go for it in terms of this title race. So let's have a look at the games that they have remaining. Let me bring this up on my screen for you. So Manchester City, in terms of the games remaining, they play Arsenal, of course, at the weekend. They then take on Aston Villa at home before a trip to Crystal Palace. Then they have the first leg of their Champions League quarterfinal away at Real Madrid. They then face Luton at home before taking on Real Madrid in the second leg of that one. They then face Chelsea on the 20th of April before making back-to-back away trips to Brighton and Nottingham Forest. Then the UEFA Champions League semi-final first leg takes place, should they qualify. And in between the first and second leg, they'll be at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers. They then finish off their season with away games at Fulham and then a home game against West Ham. It is important to note that there is a game, Manchester City away at Tottenham, that hasn't yet been scheduled. So we don't know when that one is going to be thrown in. We don't know exactly how that is going to look. So we'll have to keep an eye on the scheduling there, because the scheduling can be really, really important in these tight situations. But just looking at the games that Manchester City have left, what I've tried to do is attach a expected points total next to each game. So what is it that I think Manchester City are going to get from those games? The game against Arsenal, I've put it down as a draw. I think if Arsenal have a chance of winning the Premier League, they can't lose at Manchester City. If they do, I'm not going to say that it will be completely over, dead and buried, and that everybody should go into meltdown. But I am going to say that this is a must not lose game in terms of making sure that our title chances are nice and realistic, nice and strong. So I've put that one down as a draw. So what I'm saying there is that I expect Manchester City possibly to drop a couple of points there. If I then take it on to their other remaining Premier League fixtures, I think that they're going to beat Villa at home. I think they beat Palace away. I think they beat Luton at home. I think they beat Chelsea at home. I think they beat Brighton. They beat Nottingham Forest. They beat Wolves. They beat Fulham. They beat West Ham. And depending on when that game against Tottenham is, I think they could win that as well. Because Tottenham, if they're in a position where European football is wrapped up, is in the bag, then they are going to lay down and die for Manchester City in order to prevent us from having a chance of winning the Premier League. We've all lived this and experienced it before. Those of you that are as old as me or older will remember many occasions in which we were involved in title fights with Manchester United down the years, and Tottenham would play Manchester United and you just knew what you were going to get from Spurs. And that was a Spurs that weren't very competitive, that weren't very glamorous, and probably didn't really have a great deal to play for, but you always knew that they were happy to kind of step aside and allow Manchester United to steamroller over them in order to prevent us winning the Premier League title. Depending on the scheduling of that fixture, you could see that happen again. And that's the thing that really, really frustrates me about that particular matchup. So I've only got Manchester City down as dropping 2 points in the Premier League between now and the rest of the season. Now, I'm hoping, obviously, that the footballing gods are going to give us something more, that the footballing gods are going to give us something. Maybe Chelsea, who have been a quite difficult opposition for Manchester City this season, maybe they could do something for us. You know, Brighton away is never an easy game. Nottingham Forest will be fighting for their lives. Fulham away, Fulham have proven that they can hurt teams at the Cottage. On any given day, West Ham at home feels like the one that they should win, but you know that David Moyes' side are capable of shutting up shop and making it difficult for people. So maybe you have a little bit of hope there, but I just look at that list of fixtures and I think it's really, really favourable. You know, I think that Manchester City are more than capable of winning all of those games. Now, I've put down that they're going to win all of them bar one, which is the game against us, which means they'll pick up a total of 31 points based on that kind of tally that I've put there. And that will mean that they'll finish the season on 93 points. Let me know what you think about this in the live chat. Have I overestimated Manchester City in your opinion? Am I the only one that thinks that they are more than capable of going and picking up 31 points from their remaining Premier League fixtures? N17 Gunner says City have the best run on paper. Thomas and friends says Liverpool have the best run on paper. We'll get to Liverpool's in a minute and we'll be able to check that out. Jid says City won't win all games bar Arsenal. Okay, which fixtures is it that, or what game is it that you think they are going to drop points in? I'm really interested to know. I know a lot of you disagree with me, I should say. Damien says, you are so boring and you're showing so much respect to this Manchester City team. They are not the same team from last season. They will not go on that crazy run. Okay, let me know where you think they're going to drop points. Jid is not happy. He says, might as well say City are easily winning the league. This is lazy, to be honest, Harry. City don't and haven't looked like they can go on a 10-game unbeaten run. These predictions are by reputation. I mean, I'm still waiting for somebody in the live chat to tell me why, why they can't do this, why they can't go on and win all of these games. They're currently on 63 points. So I think I've made a typo there. 63 plus 31 is 94 So I've made a mistake on the graphic there. Apologies. Jacob says City can get a maximum of 30 points. Hold on, I've totaled this up wrong, haven't I? Sorry. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24. I can't see because my graphic's blocked. 27. Okay, fine. They can get a max of 30 points, right? So if they get 30 points, Manchester City will get 93 points. So it is right. The mistake I've made is where I've put total 31. So it's 30 points is the maximum that they can get. And they can finish on 93 points, basically. So that is possible. So now I'm saying that they're going to finish on maybe 91 points rather than 93. What are the games that they're going to drop points in then? Please let me know. Please let me know. Maths is clearly not my strong point. Haylor says Tottenham and Aston Villa might not be part of the teams fighting for the title, but how important could their influence be in deciding where the title goes? Well, they still got to play Arsenal, Tottenham. They still got to play Manchester City. Villa, I think, have to play all three sides. So Villa are a key in this, I think. They really, really are. Jid says that City might drop 8 points against Wolves, Chelsea, Brighton, and possibly Villa. I think you're stretching, man, if you think that there's a good chance that they're going to drop points in all of those games. If you're saying one, then I accept it. You know, I accept that, you know, you could be onto something there. And I'm hoping that they do drop points in one of those games. But can you really, hand on your heart, say that in the thick of a title race where Manchester City are at full tilt, fully focused, know exactly what it is they have to do, that you would back them not to win those games? Chelsea have been really poor this season. Wolves have sprung a surprise on occasion this season. But Wolves go to the Etihad. If it was at Molineux, I think it would be a different story. Brighton, do you trust Brighton to keep a clean sheet against Manchester City? I don't trust Brighton to keep a clean sheet against anybody. And Aston Villa, they play way too open, in my opinion, to go to the Etihad and get something. That's my issue with this. You know, so I'm saying that Manchester City are, in my opinion, going to pick up, you know, 28 points from the rest of the season, despite the typo on my graphic. I'm saying that they're going to pick up 28 points, which means that they would finish on 90 points. That's a lot of points, man. That's a lot of points. And I don't know, maybe I'm being too optimistic or too negative. I just can't see. I just can't see where they're going to drop these points that everybody's telling me. Everybody's going to tell me that they are. Richard says, just in case anyone is wondering, City haven't lost a fixture since December the 6th to Villa. Don't be delusional. They can continue this run. We need to stay really, really focused. I know that I made a typo in the points tallies and stuff, which I've acknowledged, recognized, thanks to you guys picking it up. And the reason I've made that typo is because I've put the semi-final with Chelsea in as a game, which is actually an FA Cup game. So that will teach me to make graphics in future. Anyway, let's take it on. So I'm saying that Man City are going to end up on 90 points. Taking it on to the next one. Let's talk a little bit about Liverpool. Okay, hopefully I haven't made any typos and mistakes on this one. Right, so Brighton at home. Liverpool have at the weekend. I expect them to win that. They've got Sheffield United at home after that. Then they take on Manchester United at Old Trafford. Then, of course, they play Atalanta in their Europa League semi-final. That is either side of a home game against Crystal Palace. They then have to go to Fulham away, to Everton away, and to West Ham away consecutively. So three games on the trot there, all away from home. They then have to play Tottenham after the first leg of their Europa League semi-final, should they get there, before facing Villa and Wolves. So let me just make sure the maths is right on this. I'm saying that Liverpool are going to pick up 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 28 points. So for Liverpool to pick up 28 points on top of the, I need to get a calculator here just to make sure. They've got 64 on the board at the moment. 64 plus 28. I'm saying that Liverpool could finish on 92 points. Again, I know I'm going to get the same responses. I know that people are going to say, oh, you're giving them way too much credit. I just think Liverpool have been through this really awful period when it comes to injuries and have managed to come out the other side of that somehow. They're getting players back now. Still within touching distance. They're second at the moment. They're only behind us on goal difference, and they've got a far superior running to us. So you look at that running and you just think, man, like, where are the mishaps going to come? Man United away, I've put it down as a draw. I don't think United are good enough to beat them when it really, really matters, when it's a top priority like it is in the Premier League. Are they good enough to get a point? Probably at Old Trafford. Fulham away, Everton away, West Ham away. Maybe I've been a bit generous giving them 9 points from those three games. All trips on the road. Fulham have been really good against big opposition this season at the Cottage. Everton away is a Merseyside derby and they need points for survival, but they'd also love to spoil Jurgen Klopp's farewell tour. West Ham away could be interesting as well, of course. But I think, again, that will depend a little bit on what they've got going on in Europe. If their league position is secure, which it is, and, you know, there isn't that much hope of sort of progressing on that and going that bit further, they might be a little bit disinterested in that game, perhaps. Tottenham at home, again, you know, it totally depends on where Tottenham are at in their situation. Villa at home could be tricky. Wolves at home is also a potential banana skin, but both of those games are at home. So when I said that, you know, the other two teams have got much better run-ins than us, I think that is true. I think both of them do. I think City's run-in is, you know, simple enough, in my opinion. And I think Liverpool's, with the exception of that run of three away games back-to-back, is pretty plain sailing as well. So I'm saying that Liverpool can achieve 28 points, which will take them up to 92 points. And yeah, so I'm worried a little bit about them. Now, as it stands at the moment, what I am saying is that if Manchester City pick up 28 points, so let me just do my calculations once more because I've obviously got it wrong on the graphic. 28 plus the 63 that City are on, they would finish on 91. Liverpool, if they achieve what I think they're going to achieve, would add 28 points to their current total and they would go on to 92. And now it takes me onto the mighty Arsenal. But before I go into Arsenal, I want to take a couple of these comments because I know some of you massively disagree with me. Jid says, we like to say that the Premier League is the best, the most unpredictable league in the world, and there are no easy fixtures. Well, I guess according to these predictions, the league seems pretty predictable. We are going down to the wire. That's when points are dropped and teams have historically slipped up. Seems that there won't be any this season, according to Harry. You say, right, you say that this is the most unpredictable league in the world. I would disagree with you. I think it's been the most unpredictable league in the world from third down to the rest of the division over the last few years. Liverpool and Manchester City, if you go back over the last few years, take Liverpool out of the equation last season, obviously, and maybe put us in there. The league was as predictable as anything. The top two were always Liverpool or Manchester City. More often than not, it was Manchester City winning the title, Liverpool coming second, but those two having significantly more points than anybody else. And this year, the bottom three, all right, forget the bottom three because the points deductions have had a big part in this. Look at the bottom two. It's bloody obvious who's going down, who's already gone down in March. You know, in truth, those two sides, Burnley and Sheffield United, with all due respect, have been relegated for months. So, you know, you say that it is the most unpredictable league. And I think there is some validity to that point when you look at teams in certain positions. But in terms of who's going to win it, in terms of, you know, those two being far superior to everybody else in recent years, it has been bloody predictable. How can it not be predictable when City have won 4 of the last 5 Premier League titles? It is predictable. Or, you know, if they win it this year, I think it's 4 out of 5. I think it's 3 out of 4, though, you know, going into the run in here. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Right, let's take it on to the mighty Arsenal, because that's what everyone really wants to talk about, right?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, so I make our run, as you can probably guess from my graphic, which hopefully adds up, not like the Man City one. I make it our run in the most difficult. I really, really do. I look at it now, and if I just total up the points I think we're going to pick up before I sort of take you through it in a little bit more detail. We've got 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 22, 23. I think Arsenal are going to pick up 23 points between now and the end of the season. So 23 plus the 64 that we're currently on puts us on 87 points. There we go. I got my math right. I'm on 2 out of 3, I should say. Look, Man City away, I've put us down for a point, which I think is a realistic expectation to have going to the Etihad. We got to beat Luton. We got to beat Brighton. We got to beat Villa in between those two games against Bayern Munich at home, of course. We got to beat Wolves. We got to beat Chelsea. And Tottenham away, I've put 0, because I really don't fancy going there needing anything. And I think that Tottenham are going to be well up for that. And I think it's still early enough in the season for them to have something to play for. And the added incentive of spoiling our party is going to get them going. The atmosphere is going to be incredible. And I need to see more from this Arsenal team before I'm going to sit there here and say that we're going to go there and we're going to win. Bournemouth at home, we have to win. Everton at home on the final day, we have to win. Man United away, similar story to Tottenham. The only thing that makes me think that we could get something at Man United is that we almost feel like the lesser of the three evils for Manchester United. But, you know, if they're back in the race for European positions, especially those Champions League spots, then there's no reason why they won't be desperate to pick up points either. We haven't done enough yet to prove that we can go to places like Old Trafford and win. Because for a few years now, we've looked at that Arsenal team and we've gone, it's better than Man United, and we go there and we still get beat. So we need to prove that. That's a hurdle that this Arsenal side, in my opinion, needs to get over. Now, maybe I've been a little bit more harsh on Arsenal when doing these calculations. But the point I'm trying to make here, and obviously you naturally feel more nervous when it's your side, I think, but the point I'm trying to make here is that I think that you probably need 90 points to win the league this season. And I feel like unless we overcome a couple of those hurdles, maybe we go and win at City and we add an extra couple of points there. Maybe, you know, we win at one of Spurs or Man United and we add some points there. I think unless we do that, we're going to struggle. Like, we need to be hitting the 90-point mark, because by my calculations, if we finish on 87, we don't win the league. In fact, we finish third. I've got Liverpool down as pipping it just because of their run in. Manchester City as being a point behind them, and Arsenal being, you know, a further 4 points behind second place. So again, we'd have been in the title race right down to the wire. And again, you know, that is showing that we've been able to sustain what we managed last season. But I just, yeah, I'm struggling to say that we can win the league with less than 90 points, because I look at the run-ins that the other two teams have got and I compare that to ours, and I think ours is much more difficult, much harder. Let me just run it off for those of you that maybe need a refresher of what that is. Man City away, Luton at home, Brighton away, Villa at home, but that's, of course, in between the two Bayern Munich games. Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Tottenham away, Bournemouth at home, Man United away, Everton at home. So I'm not saying that we can't pick up more points than this, but I'm trying to give you a realistic prediction of what I think Arsenal can do. And maybe my prediction on Arsenal is a bit more valid because it's a club that I follow much more closely and, you know, have a lot more insight into. When it comes to Man City and Liverpool, I just look at those run-ins and I'll take you back to them very quickly. If you start with City, I can't see outside of maybe Tottenham away, who probably won't want us to win the league. We definitely won't want us to win the league. I can't see a game that I look at there and go, they're definitely going to drop points. Could they drop points elsewhere? Maybe, but I just can't see it myself personally. And when I look at Liverpool's games, the only thing that really jumps out to me as a potential banana skin is those three games back to back away from home. It's three games in 6 days. It's Fulham away, Everton away, and West Ham away. Perhaps they can drop some points there. But feel free to rip my predictions apart in the comments, and we'll come over to those in just a second. The thing is, right, I put out predictions and people shoot them down, right? And you're more than entitled to do that, right? That's what we're doing here. We're having an interactive live podcast where you guys can have your say in the live chat. So my prediction, okay, is Arsenal to finish on 87 points. And I'm going to make a note of this. Arsenal to finish on 87 points, City to finish on 91, and Liverpool to finish on 92, okay? My point here is that I think that you need 90 points to win the league. And I'd be very surprised if it's less. Now, maybe nerves kick in when it comes to the final games and people start to drop points that ordinarily they wouldn't. I get all of that. I accept all of that. And I think that, it's very plausible that maybe that happens. But I just think that when you look at the run-ins that the three sides have, it's clear that Arsenal have the worst one. And actually, by quite some distance. Find it very, very difficult to believe that Liverpool and Manchester City are going to drop enough points that you can end up winning the league with 87, 88 points. That's looking at their fixtures now. Nerves kick in, other factors come into play. Champions League can have an impact. Injuries can have an impact. You know, suffering psychological blows at key moments can have an impact. I accept all of that. And I do think that this is really, really difficult to predict and tough to predict. But I think some of the reaction in the comments is way over the top, because I'm pretty confident in saying that the table will look something like what I've predicted. And if it doesn't, I will hold my hands up and say I was wrong. But who can hand on their heart look at the predictions that I've made and say, no, actually, Man City are going to get significantly less points than that? Who can hand on heart say that Liverpool are going to get significantly less points than what I've tallied up? Because, you know, the truth is that those sides have got really, really favourable runs in comparison to ours. Who can hand on their heart say that they think Arsenal are going to amass more than 87 points? And if you can't say that, looking at the fixtures of Liverpool and Manchester City, how can you say that you're confident Arsenal are going to win the title at this stage? It's really, really difficult, but I'm really confident in saying that these sides are going to hit very close to the 90-point mark, and I think there's going to be the finest margins in it. Arsenal have been to Old Trafford in recent years and failed to win despite being the better team. Arsenal have been to Spurs in recent years and failed to win. Arsenal have been to some of the other places that we've got to go, the likes of Molineux, Brighton, and drop points when we thought that, you know, that wasn't possible. So for me to say that I think we're the third favourites in the title race, I think is a fair and legitimate point to make. And people disagree with me, fine. But I think some of the comments here are ridiculously over the top in terms of how wide of the mark you guys think I am. Let's take some of your comments before we wrap up the show. 1111 says, hi, Harry, have you factored in refereeing decisions? Some teams get treated differently. That's another thing as well. Like, that's another factor, right? I'm not saying that there's any conspiracy to give Jurgen Klopp the title on his farewell tour. I'm not saying that for a minute, right? But we know that these things can make their way into your subconscious bias. We know that Anfield can have an impact. We know that, you know, managers playing mind games and all sorts of external pressures can somewhere along the line impact some of the decisions that we see in England's top flight. So Like, you know, if it's about narrative, well, the narrative is with Liverpool, right? So you have to factor that kind of stuff in as well. What else have we got? Robert says, we have a tough run in. Do it on Sunday and this group will grow and become monsters. Come on, you Reds. Yeah, I agree. I think that if we go and win at the Etihad on Sunday, my outlook will change. And if we won at the Etihad and we put 3 points on the board there rather than the one that I'm predicting, then our points tally goes up to 89 in terms of what I'm predicting. And then you're in with a shout because you don't need those teams to drop as many points as you would if you only pick up a draw at the Etihad. So yeah, this is really fluid and it can change along the way. But I just really do think that you're going to need more than 90 points to win the Premier League this season. And I can't see how Arsenal are going to pick up more than 90 points if they don't win at the Etihad, if they don't go and win at Old Trafford, which I've got no evidence to say that they will do because they always seem to struggle under the pressure of going there. And Tottenham, you know, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, yeah, we won there last year, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be at boiling point on that day because of their desperation to see Arsenal fail. So that's where I'm at in terms of my predictions. Okay, let's see what you got. Jid says, are you considering the pressures of playing second or first for all these teams and how that could play a part in results? Again, that's another factor that makes this really, really difficult to predict. And I just think when you look at the run-ins, you know, that's, I can't tell you what the psychological impact will be of playing first or second until those games take place. Because if the team playing first win, then, you know, the pressure becomes massive on the team playing second. But equally, if the team playing first drops points and you know that, you know, even a point would stick you ahead of them in the race, then you can maybe, you know, it can go either one of two ways. You can either play with lots more pressure because you feel a desperate need to capitalize on their slip up, or you can play with a handbrake off because you know that they've already lost. And so you might be going away to Spurs that day and thinking, okay, rather than going to Spurs needing to win, we can go to Spurs and need a draw and get away with a draw, and a draw can be acceptable. And that completely changes the dynamic of a game like that. So you can't factor this in until you see how that plays out. So my predictions are purely based on the run-in. I've said already, I can't tell you how the Champions League is going to impact. I can't tell you who's going to be injured, who's going to be fit. What I can tell you is who's got the most winnable fixtures. And if I'm ranking the teams in order of who's got the most winnable fixtures, Arsenal are at the bottom of that list. And so it's not wild for me to have them as my third favourites to win the Premier League at the moment. What else have we got in the chat? What else have we got? Damien's not a happy man. Not a happy man at all. TM83 says the West Ham and Fulham results did us in. Yeah, you know, that might prove to be the case. If Man City and Liverpool go and drop points against similar teams in the run-in, then maybe they won't. But at the moment, you look at those results and you think we could really bloody be in the driving seat had we not dropped points in those games. But it's all ifs, buts and maybes. Very, very difficult to know whether that's going to have a lasting impact until we get to the business end. Halo says, how much will the Bayern Munich matches influence Arsenal's Premier League title chances? They could have a massive influence. You know, you could take loads and loads of confidence from beating Bayern Munich, or, you know, you could drop points in the league prior to playing Bayern Munich and then you could beat them and that could give you the boost that you need to get back on track. Equally, you could be flying in the Premier League. You could crash and burn against Bayern and suffer a dent to your confidence going into a Premier League game. You just don't know how much this stuff is going to influence. And that's why you can only make the prediction right now based on the fixtures that you have in front of you and their winnability, shall we say. You know, one thing that also works in Liverpool's favour, which I think backs up my point of them probably being the title favourites right now, is the fact that they're in the Europa League. Manchester City have got Real Madrid to face. And if they beat Real Madrid, they face either us or Bayern Munich. Liverpool, in my opinion, have got a free pass to the Europa League final. and they can make changes whilst navigating that route. They can make the substitutions that they need to make. I think earlier on in games, I think they'll be able to rest certain key individuals depending on what they've got coming up at the weekend as well. If I were a Liverpool fan, I'd already be booking my flights to Dublin for the Europa League final. So that is surely going to have less of an impact on their Premier League title chances than our Champions League fixture will have on ours. And the same can be said for Manchester City. Anyway, I am going to leave it there just to quickly summarise, looking at the three run-ins. I've got Liverpool down as winning the title on 90 plus points. I've got Manchester City as finishing second on 90 plus points as well. And I've got Arsenal at just below 90 points, finishing third based on the remaining fixtures. Remaining fixtures alone. I know loads of you disagree with me. I know loads of you think I'm talking nonsense, but I've had that before. And I've been proven right in the past. So I'm going to back myself on this and we'll see how it goes. If I'm wrong and Arsenal amass more than 90 points, I will hold my hands up and I will say, all bow down to you guys. You were right. I was completely wrong. But I don't think Arsenal make 90 points. And I also don't think that Liverpool and City accrue less than 90 points. Therefore, how can I say that Arsenal are going to win the Premier League title? Is it being negative? No, it's my prediction. A prediction is not what you want to happen. A prediction is what you think is going to happen. I make Arsenal third favourite to win the Premier League title based on the remaining fixtures. Thank you all so much for joining me. It's good to be back on the pod after a little while. Remember, if you're watching us on YouTube or on X, you can listen to this on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to watch the video, you can join us on the YouTube channel as well. Please be sure to subscribe. It really, really does help. Just before I go, BX Gunner says, is that the long sleeve away kit? No, it's not. I've got a long sleeve top underneath. It's not the long sleeve version, though. Thank you, as always, for joining me, and I will see you all on the next one. Way more heat than I expected today, but hey, is what it is. Love you all. Catch you all soon. Goodbye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.